Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have today to share your living word with a hurting world. Thank you, Father, for the privilege and the honor of coming before your throne this morning. And we thank you, Father, for the seed of the word that we receive into our hearts that you will cause to come forth in harvest, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Welcome to a study in the word.
Hallelujah.
At Harvest Worship Center. We're in the middle, or kind of a little bit down the road, on our study, which is entitled An In-Depth Study on Love. This is part number 12. And today, the title of today's message is Love, a Commandment, Not a Suggestion. Now that says volumes in and of itself. Love is not a suggestion. It is a commandment.
Amen.
And there's a big difference between the two. Love is the foundation of every Christian life. It's the foundation of everything we do as Christians. So today we're going to look at the commandment of love. Whenever Jesus is talking in the Word about keeping his commandments, he is talking about the commandment of love. Whenever you see commandment, the word commandment, or a commandment, it is a commandment of love. Love is not a suggestion. It is a command from the commander-in-chief, God himself. There's only one being in all of creation that is the noun love, and that's God himself. He is the person love. That's who he is. That's the essence of who he is and all that he does. God's commandment to love is a verb. It's an action word. It's a commandment to do something. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Notice they were testing him. They did not want the answer, really. They were trying to position him in a place where they could get something on him. So they were testing him and saying, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Everything hangs on love. Love is the foundation for every commandment. Of everything every prophet has spoken, love is the foundation of it, because love is the source of creation. Notice how he said this in verse 37. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." Or the essence of everything that you are. Everything that makes Michael, Michael, should be focused on love and walking the love walk. My heart, my life, everything I am should be focused on Jesus Christ and on the Father who is love. Then verse 39, "And the second is like it." So the second one has the same essence in it, the same force behind it. It's just like the first one. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You know, you cannot love others unless you love yourself. Now, there's only one or two reasons really why, if you put them all in a nutshell, there's only one or two reasons why you do not love yourself. It's got to do with the influence of other people. You're growing up in your life and your family, and they're telling you you're worthless, telling you you're no good. They're beating on you, browbeating you. The other one is because you've had experiences in your life that you've been hurt. You see yourself as worthless. You became that. You're not worthless. You are deeply loved and dearly prized by the Father himself. But you came to the place in your life where you felt like you were unloved, so you do not love yourself. But that's not the way God created us. As far as God is concerned, He loves us, we should love him, and we should love each other. If you do not love yourself, you're not going to successfully love God, and you're not going to successfully love others. So it's important that we treat these as commandments. So if you're a person that does not love himself, then that's something you've got to work on. You've got to get a new image of yourself, a new image of the way God sees you and the way that you should see yourself. So everything hangs on love, no matter what it is. In John 15, verse 9, Amplified Classic, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love, continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. This is the commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love, no one has stronger affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friends. It's the essence of everything that Jesus was teaching his disciples, is to love one another, to love one another. John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all just a couple of hours before the cross. He's teaching them a summary of everything he has been teaching them through his life. He's teaching them a summary of everything that they are going to need in the future. It's a summary. And if you study any one of these chapters, you need to include the others with it. John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. They are all connected, very strongly connected, within just a couple hours and in some cases a couple of days of each other. It's a flow from one circumstance to another. And when he spoke this right here, he's just a couple hours from the cross. This is one of the last instructions that he's given his disciples. And it is the essence of everything he's been trying to teach them and teaching us. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. So when you see the way Jesus loved and walked his life, you are seeing an exact copy of the Father's love. You're seeing his love for his Son. And then he says, abide in my love, continue in his love with me. Jesus is continuing in the love of the Father, and he, when we join his heart, we're continuing in the love of the Father with him. And notice that word abide. That means to live there. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, and that big word should stand up at the beginning of the verse, if you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. So what is the key there to abiding in the love that he's given us a commandment to do? He said to abide. He said to obey. And he said to live. So the focus is to abide and to obey. You cannot abide without obeying. So we are to obey the Father's commandments, just as Jesus obeyed the Father's commandments. Verse 11, I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be a full measure and complete and overflowing. So he's told us to abide in his love, that his joy and delight would be in us, and that our joy and gladness will be a full measure and complete and overflowing. You want overflowing in your life? Abide in his love. Abide in his love. If you want the fullness to flow in and through you, there's only one way to do it, and that's to set your love upon the Father and to abide in his word. This is my commandment. The word commandment is mentioned about three times here in these few verses. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So in that case, we're going to have to go back and see how Jesus loved. How did Jesus love? He laid his life down. He's laid his life down for his brothers. So we should be laying our life down for our brothers. No one has greater love. No one has greater love. No one has stronger affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friends. Now that's just exactly what he's going to be doing in just a few moments. How do you lay your life down? Is it talking about death? Well, it could be. He could be talking about death. But what is he talking about? He's talking about whatever the circumstance is, the other one is first. Love is always other-centered, not self-centered. If you are going to lay your life down for someone, that means you set your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts, your desires aside. And you see to it that you bless that other person. You step back, and as Jesus said, you take the back seat and let someone else bring you forward. No matter what seat you want or desire, you take the back one. That's what he's talking about when he said, if they hit you on one cheek, turn the other one. Lay your life down. You don't jab back. You don't get angry. You don't jab back at them. You don't fight them. You don't argue with them. And they're not going to walk over you. Love, it always wins, no matter what. It always comes out ahead. Laying down your life can mean desiring a promotion for someone else instead of yourself. It can mean giving the last cookie to the other guy instead of yourself. It can mean if there's one box on the shelf and there's two people wanting the same box, you give it to them. That's what it's talking about, laying your life down. You're not putting yourself first. You're putting them first. There's one parking spot up front and the other ones are way back. And there's two, there's somebody behind you. You go on around and let them have it. There's all kinds of ways to lay down your life. One way is not to ever be in strife with anyone. You don't have to be. Strife is self-centered. It always is, or it wouldn't be strife. It's separation. Love joins hearts. Just because the other one's mad and is in strife with you doesn't mean that you have to be in strife with them. It takes two, really, to be in strife. Although the other person just mad until you join him. Now it's strife. And there's confusion in every evil work there. So if we want to do what Jesus is saying here, and again, it's a commandment, not a suggestion. But still, I have to make the decision to do it.
Amen.
So I can still say, if I want to do this, you have to want to love God. You have to want to walk in love. You have to want to obey the commandment. But if you don't obey it, what are you? You're in disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? The negative part of it happens.
Yeah.
You're separated from God now. You're not laying your life down for others. You're not loving. So now the blessings do not follow. The love does not flow into you because you're blocking it. So it can't flow through you. 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death and into life by the fact. Notice that this is a fact. By the fact that we love the brethren, our fellow Christians. He who does not love abides, remains, is held, and kept continually in spiritual death. So what removes you from spiritual death? Love. If you do not do what Jesus said in John 15:9, and love just as he loved, then you're walking in spiritual death. So there's no life there. And a born-again Christian can do that by choice. So the sign that we have passed over out of death and into life is the fact that we love our brothers and sisters. Do you? Who's the one that you have strife with the most, that you're upset with the most, that you dislike the most? Is he a brother Christian? And you better work on that. You better fix your life no matter what they do. Verse 15, anyone who hates, abominates, detests his brother in Christ is at heart a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding, persevering within him. By this we come to know progressively, to recognize, to perceive, to understand the essential love that he laid down his own life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for those who are our brothers in him. Laying down the life is love. Are you doing that? Are you thinking continuously by what you get out of this? Or are you thinking of how you can be an answer to someone else's hurt and to bless them? Most people, even within the church, exercise human love rather than God's love. They can be born again, they can love God, and at the same time be walking a carnal, everyday, worldly kind of love and not God's love. And we can do that. We can be born again and in church all of our life and not be walking in God's kind of love.
That's right.
God's kind of love lays the life down. We may not be doing that. Are we? This is so vital to us. We think, well, I can figure that out later. I'm just me. They have to take me the way I am. Well, I'm sorry. You're in carnal love. Maybe not love at all. You know, you're self-centered. Or you wouldn't be saying that. No, they should be receiving you as they receive Jesus. And they can only do that if you're laying your life down for others. If you're your own person and they take whatever they get, I'm sorry, no matter how hard you try, you're not walking in love. You're not. So you're carnally minded, which is death. So don't expect the blessings of God to work, because they're not going to. You're going to have a hard time for the blessings of God to flow through you, in you, through you to others if you got that kind of an attitude. You should be a representative of light, not darkness. Representative of hope. Representative of peace. Like we talked about last week, there should be fruit on thy vines. If I'm my own self, and what you see is what you get, they're not getting anything on your fruit, on the limb. There's no fruit there. Something's eating your tree. We got a mimosa tree at Carpenter Ranch. Well, it died. Didn't see them there, but they were there. That's what happens to us. A lot of times these little attitudes that we grew up with, that's been our lifestyle all of our life, we got born again, but we never had our mind renewed. We never really functioned in the love of God. We remained ourself, and we wonder why things are not different. We're being eaten up. The enemy is stealing the very power and presence of God that's supposed to be functioning in our life and through our life. The real joy that Jesus talked about in John 15, 9 through 13, the real joy that he's talking about, his joy, his rest, his presence, his power, is related to our love walk. And if I'm my own person, you take what you get, there's no love in that statement. Is there?
No.
How many people do you know like that? There's people that never say it but have that attitude. And that's wrong. That's not born again Christian love. It's not. And you better change it. Most people, even within the church, exercise human love rather than God's love. And that's a sad thing. I was talking to somebody this week that's very close to me. And this person said, there's more love in the gay community than there is in the church. There's only hate and bitterness in the church. I said, that's not true. The reason, anytime you pull into any group, no matter what it is, Anytime you isolate yourself within a group, you've automatically separated from everybody else. There's no love in that. Now, there might be a certain amount of compassion. There might be a certain amount of understanding because I am. I was born this way. No, you were not. You became that way. We're all born the same. We're all empty. We became what we are. And I can join a group that thinks like me, and sometimes there's no problems there because it appears there's more love and compassion, but there's really not. Because it never goes outside that group. No matter what it is. I just mentioned that because that's the subject we were talking about. But it's sad to say that there's Christians that think that way. I'm sorry. It's not true. And when I told the person, I said, if the condition of relationship is the fact that I got to agree with that, I can't do that because it's contrary to God's word.
Right.
I do agree that the person has a right to think that as a person, but they cannot be right with the word in that I'm not separating from them, they're separating from the word. I just refuse to compromise the word of God. I refuse that. But then I said, there's a higher level in real Christianity. There's the Christian religion that's just doctrine and no real power of life. Then there's real Christianity that's love-based. That is, the God loves me and I love him. I've set my love upon him. And I told him there's a higher level in real Christianity. It's a higher level that sees no skin. They see no color. They see no gender. They see no divisions, no country. They don't see that. They see through the eyes of love to whoever they are. But they're not separating from others. Others are separating from them. And that's sad. But it's the truth. We are to be in that place with God, but we're the same with everyone. But it doesn't mean we have to agree with what they do. We disagree with the sin. We disagree with the lifestyle. We do not disagree with the love, with the person. We're disagreeing with the sin. I cannot change my... I cannot be schizophrenic and be two-faced. I cannot walk with God here and not walk with God there. You know, I have to be the same. Now, I can walk where you are and you be where you are at. But you're not going to like being with me because I am the way I am. And we automatically, you think, well, they don't like the way I live. Not got anything to do with that. I'm just walking right with God. I'm walking God's way, and the light is disturbing you. So you're separating, even though you don't think you are. You're not being accepted. I accept you, but I can't be different. One thing, I'm born again. I'm now different than I was. Am I making sense? Sometimes we don't go far enough with our relationship with God. We have a superficial Christianity. And either you're born again or you're not. Either you're walking in love or you're not. You know, Jesus was the same with everybody, but he never changed his way of living. Paul did the same. He was the same to all men, but without changing who he was in Christ. And that's the way we're supposed to be, to love everyone, but that doesn't mean you agree with what they're doing.
Right.
So anyways, we have to judge ourselves by the living word of God. It's not our job to make them change. It's our job to present Jesus, period. By this, verse 16 there in 1 John 3, by this we come to know progressively. Notice it's progressive. What progressive means? It's process here. We come to know progressively, to recognize, to perceive, and to understand. Understanding is progressive. The essential love, the essence of that love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for those who are our brothers in him. Most people, as I said again, Most people, even within the church, exercise human love rather than God's love. Check up on what you are exercising. 1 John 4:17. In this union and communion with Him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection within us. So there's a union and communion with God. Love is brought to completion or perfection, some says. God's love is always perfect, but mine is not. It's in His perfection that I get perfection. It's when I set my love on Him and do what His commandments said, the way Jesus said in John 15, when I do that, then His love in me is becoming perfected. I can't perfect it on my own. There's no way I can perfect God's love in me. I can only obey His commandment to love. I can lay my life down in my now moment and walk in love in my now moment and then again in the next one. Perfect love, His perfect love never changes. But I'm not perfect, and neither is anybody else in this life. I have to make a continuous now decision progressively to walk that love walk. And I'm going to make mistakes. I'm not going to be perfect at it by any means, especially when I start. I'm going to have to make a decision to have my eyes continuously on Him and on His Word and be willing to lay my life down for that others. To be willing to be humble enough to apologize to people and say, hey, I was wrong. And to make it right as best I can with that other person at my cost. See, and that's the hard part. That's the hard part. Sometimes we don't apologize to people or don't try to make it right because of what we will look like. Mm-hmm. Or we'll be embarrassed or whatever. But it's necessary to do that. That's part of the laying down the line. Find out what is right to do here. Let the Holy Spirit show you what is right. And He'll show you because He wants that right. He wants your heart right, but He wants the other person right. He doesn't want any divisions. God is not the one that divides. He doesn't know boundaries. He doesn't know race. He sees the heart. There's no skin color with God. He created a beautiful bouquet. And He expects those bouquets to work together. I was thinking the other day about that and about all these things that's going on. I said, I wonder what would color you would come up with if you took all the colors of skin and mixed them up. What would you come up with? I don't know what, I'm not an artist. I don't know what you'd come up with. But if you take yellow and red and the actual colors of skin, not what I call red, we're not actually white, but, you know, whatever. We're more pale than anything. We're peachy, but anyways. But take black, and they're not all black. There's various colors of black. But whatever skin colors there are, you mix them all up. That's really what God sees. He sees a beautiful bouquet. He sees those colors working together and drawing strength from one another. He sees heart. And that's what we're supposed to see. We're supposed to, whatever color that is, we're supposed to say that color matters. Because all life matters, no matter what it is. But if I focus on one, then I've automatically separated from the others. Even though what I'm saying is not along those lines. But haven't I? If I just say and stay with white people, I'm not on this thing, but I'm trying to make a point. If that's all I stay with and all I focus on, have I not automatically separated from the others?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By saying I'm from St. James, I am from St. James. But does that not separate me from Rolla to some degree? If I say I'm an American, well, in America you got all kinds of different people. But if I say I'm from Iraq or I'm from India, that's a whole group of people. Have I not automatically separated from everybody else? Or I say I'm a Christian. Have I not automatically separated from everyone else? Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be doing that. You don't agree with them. You walk this life because you know it's right, but you love everyone. You don't have division in your heart. That's that higher level that I was talking about. The higher level does not see. It can see it, but it does not acknowledge it as being a difference. One minister gave a story. He said they had this great guy come and speak, and one guy was telling about the message and all, and he said, the guy he was talking to says, well, what was he, white or black? He didn't know. He said, I forgot to ask him. And that's the attitude we're supposed to have, is we're going to have to ask what you are because we don't know. We're supposed to just see people, just see hearts, just see love, just walk with one another. That's not possible. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. That's what Paul was saying. I'm all things to all men. He didn't say agreed with all men, but I am whatever I need to be. 1 John 4:17 again. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection within us, with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is not a black God and a white God and a Caucasian God and an Indian God and this God. Period. Jesus was sent once for all. He didn't divide it up, and neither should we. You know, but we can only do that in union and communion with him. 1 John 3:1. See what? And some translation says, behold. You know, but see what? And the Amplified there, all those letters are all capitalized. So it's an explanation. It's boldly declaring, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, and acknowledge him. Beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children. It is not yet disclosed or made clear what we shall be hereafter, but we know that when he comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like him, for we shall see him just as he really is. Oh, I love those two verses of Scripture. See or behold what incredible quality of love the Father has given to us. He didn't say, I give it to the white man, I give it to the black man, I give it to the Jew. He said, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed, past tense, on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. Notice he didn't put a division there. He didn't put a division there. Why do we? Why do we divide up? Well, that guy, he's the worst sinner I have ever seen. Well, he's still loved with the same love that everybody else is loved.
Amen.
There's no division. There's no separation as far as God is concerned. And as he is, so are we. So when they look at us, they should not see black or white or Indian or Jew or Arab or green with green polka dots and yellow polka dots. They should not see any of that. They should see a child of God. And that's who we are. That's what we're supposed to be like. That's what they're supposed to see. But if we're showing forth anything else, you know, God is not Republican. That's amazing, isn't it? God is not Democrat, is he? He's not. That surprises a lot of people. Some people think he's Baptist. He's not. He's not Harvest Worship Center either. He's all things to all people. He's God. It's one God, one Lord, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, one baptism, just one. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry, you're wrong. Religion is only a demonstration without the authentic love of God. That's what religion is. That's what I was talking about a while ago. There's Christianity, then there's Christians. Two different things. And we put them all as one. Christianity, the religion, is works-based. There's no real power. They have a form of godliness. Very little love. Most of them are self-centered. But, and to the world, they see hate there. They see division there. Is there division there? Yes, there is. There shouldn't be. But then there's real Christianity, the one that is born again, the one that has made Jesus Christ Lord of his life. There's no divisions there. If they're actually walking that, there's nothing divides them. Nothing divides them from the rest of the church. It's the rest of the church that divides from them. But yet it looks like that real Christian is dividing. He's not. He's just walking with God. And I need to look at where I'm at. Am I just like everybody else? Or am I making a few waves here and there by being who I really am? I love God and I don't apologize for it. I don't apologize for that. I love you. I love everybody the best I can. And whenever I've got an issue, a problem, I do my best to correct it and repent of that, knowing that I'm imperfect and that the perfect one lives in me and he's teaching me as I walk. That's in my relationship. Real Christianity is relationship-based. It's not doctrine-based. Now, relationship with God will bring forth a doctrine, but it'll be his doctrine, not man's. The key to overflow is setting our love upon him and walking the love walk. That's the key. When you set your love upon God and keep his commandments and walk in his ways, you open the door for a manifestation in every area of your life.
Amen.
When you do not love God and keep his commandments, you open the door for the enemy, Satan, to work in every area of your life. You open the door, you shut the door to the enemy. The enemy cannot come in where love is.
That's right.
He can't abide there. Perfect love casts out fear. He cannot get in there. He who keeps himself, that wicked one touches him not. That's what keeping yourself is. You're walking with God. You're walking the love walk. You're walking his ways. So Satan has nothing in you. But if you don't repent and change your ways, then he does. Because you've opened the door. You're carnally minded, not spiritually minded. Spiritually minded is love minded. There isn't anything else. So I know that's deep for some people, but I'm just telling you the truth. There is only one thing, and that's love. There's only one thing that you're responsible for as a Christian, to walk the love walk. Everything else falls into place. It's just like, and I'm not being political here, I'm just saying the truth. If you vote for people and for the parties and people that stand for abortion, when you do that, everything else will fall along with that.
Yeah.
Everything else is related to that. If you vote for those that are anti-abortion, then everything else, pro-life, everything else lines up with that. No matter what it is, because love flows where life is.
Yeah.
If you kill, steal, and destroy, then everything falls off, flows with that. If you believe in life and you lift up life and lifting up people, then everything flows with that. The person's decisions will flow with that. What they believe will flow with that. What they stand for will flow with life.
Yeah.
But if you stand for death, everything else you stand for will line up with that too.
That's right.
So just think about that. I'm not being political. I'm just telling you we are one-issue voters. Abortion. Because everything else flows with that. Yes, Mother?
Well, I just wanted to, you made me think of this. When we're talking about every other issue, not just pro-life or pro-choice, if you get into other issues of how you're going to vote or how you have discussions with people or what TV shows you watch or whatever, if I was really laying down my life, I wouldn't be on the lookout for what the economy will do for me, what the government will do for me, what I can get for me and my family. Do I vote so that that fellow across the street can have a good job?
Yeah.
So you got to get that kind of stuff in your mind.
It's bigger than me.
Yeah, it's not just me and what I want and what I can get out of it.
Yeah. You've got the heart of the nation, the heart of the people. And that's who you want in office. Not the heart of the person that thinks like you think, but the heart of the person that thinks the way God thinks, for the good of the whole.
Yeah.
You know, there's one party that eliminated the under God from the pledge. What's that tell you? Mm-hmm. We are one nation under God.
Yes, we are.
With liberty and justice for all. That's His idea of liberty, not mine.
His idea of justice.
It's His idea of what liberty is. And that's what our foundation, our nation was founded on. I'm not being political. I'm just telling you, if you're walking in love, you're walking with God. And if you're walking with God, love is important, life is important.
Amen.
If you're not walking with God, then life doesn't matter to you, your principles matter. There's a big difference between the two. So, I got to shut up. Well, Lord, we thank you for teaching us this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the manifestation of your truth and your word in our lives. Father, your word is love, and it is a commandment.
Thank you, Lord.
And we take it seriously. Not only is it a commandment, but it is the source and the root of all things. And Father, I make a choice in my life. I can't choose for anybody else. But I pray that everybody will make the same decision. I set my love upon you, and I choose to walk with you. I do not apologize for walking the love walk. I do not apologize for being different. I do not apologize for bearing the name of Jesus to a hurting world. I do not apologize for that. That's who we are. And Father, I ask that we become of one heart together by our choice. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.